gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a sh. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows the name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it, it's time for the truth. Here's our dude, you're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Listening to Haney.
Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast here on nofilter.net and wherever you get your podcasts, like iHeartRadio. I am here to talk about the Ryder Cup, a little Ryder Cup recap. This podcast is brought to you by HaneyUniversity.com. That's my website. That's where you can go to sign up for my free instructional videos and where you can find out information about golf lessons from me. All right, the Ryder Cup. Not good for the USA. Not good. Very good for Europe. Not good for me because I bet on the USA. Why did I bet on the USA? I bet on the USA because when I analyze golf tournaments, and they're very hard to bet on, but when I analyze golf tournaments, and this isn't really a tournament, it's an exhibition, but when I analyze the exhibition, I thought to myself, okay, the U.S. has a decided advantage in the world golf rankings of the players on the team. Average world golf ranking of a U.S. player was 12.91. Average ranking of the European team was like 10 spots higher, 29.25. So the U.S. theoretically had better players. Now, you can argue about the world golf rankings, and maybe that's not a good system, but you could also factor in the home course advantage and the home crowd and everything. I still felt like the U.S. was a good bet. And in fact, if you look at the singles on Sunday, you got 12 singles matches, and you match up the world golf ranking of each player with the player that they're playing against. Number one, Scottie Scheffler played John Rahm. They played to a tie. Colin Morikawa is ranked 19th in the world golf rankings. He plays Victor Hovland, who's fourth. He's supposed to lose that match. He did. Patrick Cantlay plays Justin Rose. Patrick Cantlay's ranked fifth. Justin Rose is ranked 37th. Patrick Cantlay's supposed to win that match. He does. Rory McIlroy's ranked second in the world. He's playing against Sam Burns, who's ranked 20th. Rory McIlroy is supposed to win that match. He does. Max Homa plays Matthew Fitzpatrick. They're 7th and 8th in the world. It's a toss-up. Homa wins that one. Harmon, ranked 9th. Terrell Hatton, ranked 11th. Kind of a toss-up. Again, Hatton wins that one. Brooks Koepka, I think he's about the 5th best player in the world, maybe better than that. Won the PGA, second at the Masters. He's playing Ludwig Oeberg, just out of college kid. Koepka's supposed to win that match. He does. Then you got a toss-up, according to World Golf Rankings, Justin Thomas and Sepp Straka. But you have to say that Justin Thomas is a little bit more seasoned than Sepp Straka. Justin Thomas wins it. Xander Schauffele versus Højgaard. Schauffele's ranked 6th, Højgaard 82nd. Schauffele wins. Now, here's where the problem comes in. Jordan Spieth ranked 12th in the world against Shane Lowry, 34th, and they tied. Ricky Fowler against Tommy Fleetwood. Fleetwood's 13th, Ricky Fowler's 25th. Fleetwood wins. And then you've got McIntyre, ranked 55th, versus Wyndham Clark, ranked 10th, and McIntyre wins. If you go by the favorites in those matches, the U.S. shoulda, woulda, coulda, won 7, lost 4, tied one. They should win the singles. They should always win the singles for as long as I can remember on the Ryder Cup. But it hasn't been happening, and it hasn't happened, especially overseas. You figure that if the U.S. had it close going into Sunday, close meaning 1 points, 2 points, they could pull it out. Well, they wouldn't have. I mean, I thought that one of the things that was great about the Ryder Cup is NBC did a masterful job of holding on to the audience, making the audience that Ryder Cup was over the first day, done, finished, over. Okay, but they did a masterful job of holding on to the audience on Sunday, making everybody think the U.S. still could win this thing, and then they still were saying like, oh, there was a moment there. They were 5 points down going into Sunday, and they lost by 5 points. It was not to be had for the U.S. team. There was no way that they were going to win that match after the start that they had. They just got absolutely, absolutely drummed at the beginning, and it happened. My logic is this. If you're going to bet on 12 football games, okay, you're going to bet on 12 football games, and I'm going to say you don't even have to give points. You just can you can pick the favorites if you want. You're supposed to win. That's supposed to be a good bet. It's supposed to be a good bet. If you get to pick a team that is favored to beat another team, it's supposed to be a good bet. Well, it doesn't mean it's guaranteed because they're all good players too, and things happen. I'll tell you what happens. Luck happens, chip-ins happen. I saw a few chip-ins for Europe, great shots, but the fact that they go in, sometimes they're going in pretty fast. That putt that Rahm made where it was that they, you know, arguably said was going 6, 8, 10 feet by the cup, hits the back of the cup, goes in. I mean, that's a lucky shot. I mean, you could call whatever you want. You know, everybody will say great putt. They did the same thing in Medina. When Poulter and Justin Rose made these bombs on 17 at Medina when they had that miracle comeback there, when you hit a putt, you have to marry the speed and the line. So in order to make a putt that's going the wrong speed, you also have to hit it on the wrong line. That's how you make that putt. That is what you call luck. Now, I'm not saying that luck determined the Ryder Cup. But I am saying that things can happen, and things do happen. The fact of the matter is even though the European players were not as highly ranked statistically as the U.S. players, they clearly outplayed them. I think I saw the statistic where it said they were like 17.5 strokes gained approach shot to the green better than the U.S. That's a big margin. I mean, that's a big margin. So they outplayed them, they outputted them, and I think it kind of boiled down to the big guys. I thought, okay, like logic would say, the World Golf Rankings would say that the U.S. has the advantage, but you can negate that advantage if you sit certain players. Okay, if you don't play certain guys and you play them less, okay, your higher ranked players, you play them less. McIntyre played 3 matches. He didn't play as much. You can do that. Holger, 3 matches. You can do that. Those are their 2 highest ranked players, and they didn't play them as much. And then you play your low ranked or your better ranked players, you play them more often. That's how you can overcome. But then the guys have to play good. And this was Rory McIlroy's best Ryder Cup ever. 4-1, best Ryder Cup he's had. And obviously, if you write the formula for Europe winning, and it's just say, hey, you know what? It's pretty much going to be the same formula for U.S. U.S. had a little bit more room for error, I think, because of the depth of their lineup. They didn't have to have a 4-1 out of Scottie Scheffler. If they would have had, you know, a 2-1-1 out of Scottie Scheffler, it would have been a heck of a lot better. You know, they didn't have to have a phenomenal, you know, run out of their top three players. And I had their top three players as Koepka, Scheffler, and Cantley. Scheffler goes 0-2-2. Koepka only plays three matches for some ungodly reason. You know, probably because he's LIV. I don't know. You know, you give me another reason why you don't play. Brooks Koepka does not get the respect. Like, this is something I get you hate LIV. I understand that. You know, they're all evil. I don't know why they're evil, because they just made everybody a lot more money, but they hate LIV and whatever, you know, we took him because we had to take him because he won the PGA and he was second at the Masters, and the PGA runs the Ryder Cup. We got to take him. We don't want to take him, but we got to take him. But then they play him three matches. I don't get that. But Scottie Scheffler plays four. Cantley plays four. Justin Thomas plays four matches. You know, Jordan Spieth plays four matches. How does Brooks Koepka only play three? Man, the guy doesn't get the respect. He just doesn't get the respect. But anyway, he faced 1-1-1. He played three matches. Cantley was the best player on the U.S.'s team. Him and, you know, I guess you got to put him and Homa. Homa was 3-1-1. Cantley was 2-2-0. So Homa was the best player, but second best player was Cantley. And those three guys, Cantley, Scheffler, and Koepka, played a total of 11 matches. But Rahm, Rory, and Hovland, their big three, played 14 matches. And there you're banking on your depth, and, you know, it which is fine for, you know, the whole depth thing is great. And the rest thing is good. And, you know, you're going to be better in the singles. We want our guys rested. We got depth advantage in singles. But the problem is it was over before the singles started. And that's the, you know, that was – no, I don't think the captain could have necessarily changed this whole thing. I got to be honest with you. I listened to all of these people talk about why the U.S. lost. And it's just the reasons are just amazing. The number one reason everybody comes up with is Europe is more of a team. And I'm like, what does that mean? I hear this all the time. My friends text me. My students text me. You know, people just make such a big the media love the media loves to talk about it. And I, you know, I think of it kind of like I do with hitting golf shots. The golf ball does not know you're nervous. The golf ball does not know what kind of team you are, what kind of team player you are, what your team unity is like. I didn't see like the U.S. had this big issue with team unity. I hear people talking about it, but I don't see it. I do see Europe as a close-knit team. I get it. And does that help them raise the level of their play? I'm sure it does. I'll give you that it does. But the U.S., they didn't need to raise the level of their play. They just needed to play to the level of their capabilities, and they didn't do it. That's just the fact. When the number one player in the world goes 0-2-2, and, you know, that's not going to get it. You know, I mean, that's not going to get it. When you play all these guys that are, you know, your captain's picks, and you play all the captain's picks, and what did they do? I'm Ricky 0-2-0, Spieth 0-2-2, JT 1-2-1. I mean, how did it work out there? You know, it's just it didn't work out too good. They just didn't play good. Luck is a factor. It wasn't their week. You know, it's not going to be a blowout. It's 18 holes of golf. Luck's a factor. The crowd's a factor. This week, they didn't play as good. The U.S. team didn't play as good. And Europe just played great. And like somebody said, you know, like you look at it, and they're making a ton of putts. I mean, they're throwing it in from everywhere. And you know what? Last time they played at Whistling Straits, it was a joke. It was an absolute joke. U.S. had a better team. They should have won by some margin, but they boat raced them because they were throwing it in from everywhere. I mean, they were making everything. It's just like everything was going in, and Europe couldn't make a thing. This time, Europe made everything. U.S. couldn't make a thing. And sometimes that's just what happens. That's what happens in golf. You know, I don't know how better, you know, team chemistry, whatever that they think the problem is here with the U.S. team, better team chemistry. I don't know how that helps you. How does that help you make more putts? How does that help you? I mean, Ricky Fowler didn't hit it in the water on 16 because we have bad team chemistry. I just don't see the logic in all this whole chemistry talk. Now, I can see some logic in the fact that Europe had played that course more than us, and everybody didn't even play, you know, the extra practice rounds there. There's some logic in that, although I don't think we got like out course managed there. You got 12 guys, great players. I mean, they should be able to figure out how to play a golf course. But the more times you play it, the better it is for you. There's no doubt about that. So that's a little edge. The one thing that probably does make a lot of sense is the fact that the U.S. took 5 weeks off, okay? And they were practicing, I'm sure, and they're working at their games, but it's not the same as playing. A few of the guys played. Justin Thomas played. Max Homa played. They played up at in Napa Valley at the Fortinet tournament, and they got a little something in there. But the European team had seven other players were in the top 10 at the tournament the week prior to or 2 weeks prior to the Ryder Cup. So that's something. I mean, I think that probably has something to do with it. You know, it kind of goes to what I was saying about, you know, when you pick players that are hot, how do you know they're going to be hot, like for the Ryder Cup, the U.S. team? How do you know the guy's going to be hot when you pick him a month, you know, or 5 weeks before the real Ryder Cup? You don't know. I mean, in golf, you could be hot today and not hot tomorrow. You could have a great week this week and not a great week next week. But the closer you are to the date that you're playing well at, probably the better off it is. I mean, we got to concede that fact. And the U.S., we hadn't played much. We hadn't played. So the guys just collectively did not play good. Europe played fantastic. They made putts. Seemingly, they maybe caught a couple more breaks. That was a horrible break for Max Homa in the singles on the 18th hole. He overcame it and won, but I mean, that's just a horrible break. I didn't see any breaks like that were, you know, that was a terrible break. He still won, but that was a bad break. The putt, that was a big change. I mean, that putt Rahm made, you know, going in at the speed it was going in at, that was a big one. You know, that thing's scooting by pretty good. That's a break. Wrong speed, wrong line, goes in. I mean, that's a break. There's a few chip-ins there. You know, I mean, there's something fortunate about a chip-in. I mean, Spieth had one too, but I saw more than that on Europe's side. And it's not, you know, you could look at it and you say, well, they have better short games, but they don't. I mean, statistically, that's not what it says. But, you know, you're not going to hold shots left and right from off the green, and they ended up doing it. But it wasn't a great watch. I mean, I got to say that. But I thought NBC did a great job trying to make you think it was coming down to the wire. And they held their audience pretty good by doing that. And, you know, some of those matches on Sunday were pretty good. They got a few too many drivable par fours for me. I mean, I you know, one of those on a golf course is nice. Three of them, you know, I don't know. I mean, what are we playing, an executive course out here? I don't, you know, but that's part of the deal. See, this is what they, they got all these analytics going now. They got all these analytics going. And what they're figuring out is okay, if we put the fairways at this width and we put the holes at this length and we put the rough at this depth, at this depth, at this distance, this is going to give us analytically, this is going to give us a statistical advantage. And, you know, obviously there must be something to it because the home team sure seems to be winning a lot. And the crowd, I mean, let's face it, the crowd, you know, the crowd means something. And, but it's going to be that way. You know, it's going to be that way. And if the crowd is an issue, then pick players, you know, that are pretty good at handling that kind of situation. You know, Dustin Johnson's pretty good at handling that situation. You know, Bryson, he's pretty good at handling that situation. Patrick Reed's good at handling that situation. You know, these guys weren't even considered for the team. Keegan Bradley's he's pretty good at handling that situation. You know, he'll get in their face. You know, if they're going to grow the rough up 2 feet tall, Lucas Glover, a good ball striker, maybe he's pretty good. Man, this foursomes thing we got where these alternate shot, I mean, you got to figure out how you're going to play alternate shot. I got to, you know, like one of my friends, like, how do they play so bad? You know, I mean, I shot this, I shot that. How I played alternate shot and I shot alternate shot's a tough format. You got to figure out who's going to play. I can't second guess the pairings because I wasn't there. But I can tell you this much, okay? If I had the statistics in front of me and I could look at them, and I could look at those statistics, and I could stand on the driving range and the golf course for 3 days, okay? 3 days, 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 days. I could stand on that drive range and on the golf course for 4 days. Let me tell you something. Give me those statistics and 4 days on the golf course and the driving range. I can figure out who might ought to play alternate shot because alternate shot's a tough formula. You gotta hit your ball. You know, Jordan Spieth. Now, I don't know about that. You know, JT, the way he was playing. You know, I'm not sure about that. You know, Homa. Yeah, Koepka. Yeah. You know, you got to put Scheffler out there. He's one of the best ball strikers in the world. Hard for me not to put, Morikawa out there. He's one of the best ball strikers. Cantley. I mean, how do you not put that guy out there? But some of the stuff maybe could have been a little different. It's easy to second guess. But my real analysis of the whole thing is they played better. Europe did. They putted better. They had the home course advantage. They had the fan advantage. They maybe got a few more breaks than the U.S. did too. And all that, when you add it up, it equals a drumming. I mean, this was like they could, you know, they could tell us how it was almost close, but that wasn't close at all. To lose by 5 points, that's not good. I mean, that's a bad beat. That's a bad beat. And now the U.S. has got to, you know, now they go back to Bethpage Black the next time, and then they'll have to wait again to win in Europe. And I'll tell you what, you know, these three guys they got, Rory will still be a good player. He'll be a great player. Aram, he could be a great player. Hovland, you know, he's going to be a great player. You know, Koepka will be, you know, he'll be good. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, he's not going to get younger. You know, Scheffler, you know, maybe he'll learn, he'll figure out his putting, maybe he will, but the script has flipped a little bit here. Like just right now, as I'm projecting forward. Okay. Just because of those big three guys and what we got going on here in the U.S., I'm going to say that Europe has a better chance of winning at Bethpage Black. It's an early prediction. Europe has a better chance of winning at Bethpage Black than we do U.S. next time we go to Europe. That's what I think. But the home team is definitely, there's something to it. There's something to it, this setting up the course and all these statistics. There's definitely something to it because it's close anyways. And that's the home field, the home course is flipping things, pretty considerably. So, you know what? That's good. It makes it good. You know, you like to see the home team. I do, you know, in sports, I like to see the home team win, you know, let the fans have a nice party, have them enjoy it. I just wish it would have been a little closer. You know, that's all I wanted. I bet on the U.S. You know, I took a little bath. It wasn't a major bath. You know, I'm not a big bettor. I took a little haircut. I can afford it. No problem, you know. But next time at home, I got to ride the home team from now on probably, you know. I mean, but it's, hey, I have to say this. I've been around a long time. I'm 68 years old. As my father says, I'm on the back nine now. Okay. And the Ryder Cup is much better. I mean, it's a great exhibition. It's much better now that Europe has had such great success. It's much better now than it was back in the day when, and I go back in the day, when U.S. was winning every single one of them. It's much better now. It's just better. And you know what? I like to see the U.S. win. I'm a United States citizen. I cheer for the U.S. I will be losing zero sleep over the fact that Europe won the Ryder Cup. But congratulations to them because they deserved it. They beat the crap out of that U.S. team. Beat the crap out of them. All right, I'll have more on this the rest of the week. But that's just my first initial reaction. Kind of the big three, you know, that's it. Rahm, Rory, and Hovland, they took it to them. You know, I mean, if you look at it, 9 points for them. Koepka, Scheffler, and Cantley, 3 points for them. That's 6 points right there. They won by five. It's pretty much it. That and the foursomes, you know, that's pretty much where the analysis goes right there. But it was fun to watch. You know, it could have been more fun. I'd like to see it come down to the last hole. That was a great last hole. I'd love to see it come down to that. Anyway, hope everybody enjoyed the podcast. Hit the follow button on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure you listen to NoFilter.net. Great stuff on NoFilter.net, and I'm excited to be a part of it. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you soon on the Hank Haney Podcast.